Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Happy Tuesday to you, Golden Eagle fans. Listen across the state of Mississippi on the Super Talk Mississippi Network. It's the Eagle Hour. Luke Johnson, Michael Mergens from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg, and Laurel. Bob's headed over to Montgomery as the Sun Belt Conference Tournament gets underway today. I'll be joining him tomorrow. Eagle Hour on the road the next 2 days. In Montgomery for the Sun Belt Tournament, and a full show for you today. We'll have Ben Milam later in the show, Heath Hinton, as well as Patrick Stats McGee talking RPI just a little later. But a reminder that the Sun Belt Conference does start today at 3 p.m. Old Dominion and James Madison, and then tonight Georgia Southern and Georgia State. Eagles will get tomorrow at 12:30 the highest seed of the winning team today. First segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you every day by Dickey's Barbecue. Located in a community near you. Tournament times here, regionals, super regionals, and the College World Series coming up. If you got a watch party, be sure to let Dickey's Barbecue cater your next event. The hometown team in Hattiesburg, just outside Turtle Creek Mall. Appreciate Justin Harris and his sponsorship of the Eagle Hour. Dickey's Barbecue, cooked here, loved everywhere. The latest projections from D1 Baseball have the Golden Eagles as a 2 seed. In Tuscaloosa, Alabama, one of the members of that projection team from D1 Baseball, Mark Etheridge, joining us now. He's in Birmingham for the SEC tournament. And Mark, I know it's a busy week, but appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk some ball. I mean, I'm at the SEC tournament. We're already underway here. South Carolina beat Georgia 9-0 in the first game, and Tennessee's playing Texas A&M right now. And those are teams that, you know, with Tennessee and South Carolina, among others, that are got a lot to play for, trying to play their way into a host site.
And the reason why, you know, Southern Miss fans have their eye on Birmingham this week, I went back and looked, Mark, since 2005, Southern Miss has only been to 3 non-SEC regionals. And so this time of the year, we always keep our eye on that because if we don't host, we will probably, you know, end up as a number two. And I guess the more and more the NCAA has tried to pair teams regionally, it just seems like it's going to be that way. Will that ever change, you think?
Probably not. I mean, what they try to do is match based on, you know, geography and also competitive balance. So it's not like a true S curve where you go 1 through 64 and the best 2 seed goes to the worst 1 seed. It's not that way at all. It could be, but that's almost by happenstance. It happens because it's more of they try to minimize travel, both from a cost perspective and for just so fans can attend, right? It's just because you're maybe Oregon State's the 16 and Miami's the 17. It doesn't mean they should, you know, go all the way across the country. So they're trying to come sense with it. And you're right. I mean, there are a lot of opportunities for SEC teams to host. There's still 9 teams that we have in the running to host regionals. And a lot of that's going to be decided, you know, in Hoover this weekend because they're really close together from a resume standpoint. I don't think, you know, I think probably you're looking at 7 SEC host sites. That would probably be my thought. And among those, you know, Southern Miss would certainly be a favorite to go to either Tuscaloosa or to Auburn. It should either of those teams host. And then, of course, you've got Baton Rouge down the road as well. That would be a logical candidate. So you're right. It's put your focus on Hoover to figure out who the next, where Southern Miss could be heading if they don't earn a host site.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans don't want to go to Baton Rouge. First and foremost, be the third regional since 19 the Bayou Bengals Eagles have played. And I think a lot of people also don't want to look at a Mr. Paul Skeens on the mound as well.
Yeah, but, I'll blame you there.
And you got to think Jay Johnson's not going to pitch him in game one against the 4 seed for sure. So
no.
We had Aaron on a few weeks ago. Kendall on Sports Talk Mississippi said this last week. What do the Golden Eagles need to do, as they were discussing that and we've been talking, if Southern Miss were to go 4-0, I mean, are they back in the hosting conversation? What would have to happen for the Eagles to get a 15 or 16 seed?
Yeah, that's probably what it's going to take to get back into the conversation, and to beat Coastal would be good too, just to have that quality win. And then you're going to need some help. I mean, honestly, you need some of these SEC teams to lose, and you also need – the Big 12 has three teams that could end up hosting Oklahoma State, West Virginia, and Texas. If none of those three, or maybe only two of them, if they lose early, that would really help your case. And in our West, you got Oregon State, who we have on the bubble as a bubble host as a second place Pac-12 team. Should they not play well in this weekend's conference tournament, what you're doing is you're trying to do better than those teams you're competing against. Especially those that are a little bit ahead of you, so you can not only reach them, but also surpass them. I think the problem Southern Miss has got right now is the RPI is it needs to come up, right? But what they have going in their favor is the Sun Belt is the best it's been, I don't know, maybe ever. There's the fifth-rated RPI conference right now. With expansion, it's only getting stronger, and I think it's going to get a lot of respect in the committee room. So that's in your favor. So it's just a question of, you control what you can, and then you really do have to scoreboard watch it and hope things fall in your favor.
Talking to Mark Etheridge of D1 Baseball, D1 yesterday, Mark along with Aaron Fitt and Kendall Rogers projecting the Eagles to go to be the two seed in Tuscaloosa. And, if the Eagles were to win four, they would get to 41. And it's kind of odd. The Sun Belt may have a host. They're going to have a host with Coastal. Eagles might be that way. Troy, has been floating around top 30, but those may be the only three teams you get. And to your point, better conference this year, but Sun Belt got four in last year.
Yeah, and I think it's just their teams are beating up on each other, so you're kind of progressing to the mean. And I do think that it's the kind of league that could have an automatic, winner outside those top three teams you mentioned, because there is depth in the league. Some teams that maybe have underachieved through the year, they're still talented, and they can put it together and have that magical run, kind of like Lafayette did last year. They were certainly a stolen dead kind of team. So I think that's, that would be one of the least surprising for me, not because those teams at the top aren't good, but just because there's good teams elsewhere that can knock you off. And that's the other thing. I mean, that's one of the fun parts of this time of year is you've got all these stolen bid opportunities around the league, leagues that would only get one bid, but they get two because you have a surprise tournament winner. And all of that ripple effect affects the bubble, it affects the pairings. And, depending on what happens, it can also help a team like Southern Miss boost their stock because of those upsets. Some of those teams don't win their automatic. They get that loss, and Southern Miss kind of boost their stock if they did.
Mark, you're certainly aware of the Southern Miss baseball program down in Mobile and right in the heart of Sun Belt country, and have watched this program for a long time. I saw you back on May 16th tweet about Scott Berry's retirement. As somebody who is aware of Southern Miss and yet very has a pulse on the national, the national conversation of college baseball. What has been your observations of Scott Berry and what he's meant? Not only to Southern Miss, but to college baseball.
The first word that comes to mind with Scott Berry is he's a gentleman. And, this is sometimes a world and a sport that doesn't have a lot of those, because it's such a cutthroat, competitive game. And Scott's certainly competitive. But he's always handled himself in a way that would, endear others to him and also reflect well on who he represents. And I do think that, he decides this is the time, and man, is he going out leaving the program in great shape. I mean, it's so many times you see coaches, they hang around too long because they just don't know anything else, and things kind of get away from them at the end. And he's certainly not doing that. It's in great shape for Christian to come in and try to elevate the program and maintain what they're doing and try to take it to the next step. You're in a better league now from a baseball standpoint. And I think there's certainly opportunities to take that, and whatever that next step is, they're in great position to get there.
30 seconds left. I know you guys covering college baseball excited to see Oz get a head coaching job.
Yeah, absolutely. He's earned it. I mean, he's got a great reputation as a teacher of pitching, and now he's going to get a chance to move into that big office, right, and do all the things that you always want to do. And yeah, as you're moving up, you know, learn from really good coaches, and he can take that. And I'm excited for the direction of the program. It's always fun to have new blood in there to just take the next step with the program.
Absolutely. Well, Mark, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for breaking away, and have a good coverage, and we'll be watching you guys' commentary throughout the week and into regional week.
Yeah, we're all over it. You take care, man.
It's Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball. Appreciate his time today. We're going to talk some more RPI projections with Pat Stats McGee coming up on the Eagle Hour on a Tuesday.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Back on a Tuesday, great stuff with Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball. If you missed that, you can go back and listen on demand, supertalk.fm or the Eagle Hour in podcast form, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You need to cheer for some SEC teams this week. You need to cheer for some against Oregon State this week. And Mark was just kind of telling us who to root for the Golden Eagles to take care of business in Montgomery and in order to get back in the hosting conversation. Second segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you every day by Campus Bookmark, located on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. You can shop anywhere online, campusbookmark.net. We need to mention that in this second segment and in the last segment of the show, we've got both hosts of the Buzzardry podcast. And Patrick Stats McGee of Hattiesburg joins us. Ben Milam will join us in the fourth segment. Heath Hinton next segment. But, yeah, we've got some Buzzardry on today. Stats, what's going on, man?
Yeah, glad we can get a little bit of airtime on. I mean, you guys probably have the best visibility out of any of the USM programs, so we're appreciative of that.
Yeah, visibility. If you saw our faces, they wouldn't say that. But yeah, we get what you're saying with the airwaves. All right, D1. We just talked to Mark. They've got Southern Miss in Tuscaloosa, Baseball America in Baton Rouge, NOLA.com in Nashville. Seen some other Nashvilles. I think you have us now in your latest projections, which do carry weight with me because I think you probably study RPI in this probably more than anybody. Your rationale for Southern Miss going to Tuscaloosa as the two?
Yeah, well, I think you just kind of look at, I guess, just from looking at Alabama, they've played their way into the host mix at 16-14 in the SEC, and they have a top 10 RPI. And yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense. It's another team within that 400-mile radius. You know, you look at Baton Rouge, it was looking like for a long time it was the only one that was an option. And now you have Tuscaloosa, and now you have Auburn as well that could be in the mix. So I just think it makes a lot of sense geographically. And, you know, also, you know, you avoid that repeat from last year of LSU. And then it also, I mean, they don't seed it, you know, 1 through 64. But obviously, you know, if you assuming USM can, you know, win a few games in this conference tournament, they would be one of the, you know, higher in the top half of the two seeds. And Alabama would be in the lower half of the host, so it would just make sense competitively as well.
So on the Sun Belt side, you definitely want Troy to win against App State so that the Eagles could play them in round two if the Eagles win tomorrow, because Troy's at 35. That would get a little RPI bump, and then you would hope that if you were able to make it to the championship, you're playing Coastal.
Yeah, I think you're rooting for chalk all the way. I think you're rooting for Troy to win, and you would hope you get two wins over Troy, and that would help on RPI, and also give you two more top 50 wins, and then you would hope for Coastal Carolina there in the championship game. So, I mean, there's the possibility of three top 50 wins, and including a top 25 win over Coastal. which would get that top 25 record up. So, yeah, I think you're rooting for Troy and you're rooting for Coastal Carolina for the maximum RPI effect this weekend.
Who are the most vulnerable projected host right now? I mean, people that Southern Miss could overtake, and, you know, from your perspective, where are the stolen bids regionally wise?
I think I had Texas as my 16, and I really didn't have Texas on my host radar at all, but they had swept West Virginia over the weekend in Austin, and that propelled them to the number one seed in the Big 12 tournament, which that's something that has a good bit of weight, you know, winning the Big 12 as far as the host mix. So I have them as my 16. And then you kind of have this SEC trio or four teams, or quartet, maybe you could call it, between Alabama, Auburn, South Carolina, and Kentucky. And then maybe Tennessee, really. So Carolina won earlier today, which puts them in a better position. But, yeah, I mean, I think if an Alabama were to have an early exit, that could bump them down the host mix, as well as, you know, same thing with Auburn and Tennessee, who's playing right now against Texas A&M. Those rooting against those SEC teams would help as well.
Yeah, pulling for the Aggies, but I mean, you know, Auburn surely can't get a hosting site if they win less than 35 games. They're at 33-19 right now.
Yeah, so they're seven. They have a pretty good league record of 17-13, so that's the best out of those teams I just mentioned. But their RPI isn't as great. They lost a home series to Southeast Louisiana, which has kind of hurt their RPI a little bit. So I think, again, they would be kind of on the chopping block if they were to lose their opener. I forgot who they play. I think they play later tonight. Maybe against Missouri. That's going to be great from an RPI perspective to lose a neutral site game two of Missouri.
Some people right now that are rolling their eyes at not you, but me, for talking about the SEC on the Eagle Hour. But I mean, if the Eagles are going to host, we've got to be aware of what's going on in Birmingham. I mean, for instance, you have Columbia in yours, but I mean, they just got drugged by Georgia, right? So I mean, you got to feel
won that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, there you go. That's why we have
all the way around.
That's why we have you on the show. So, but South Carolina's one of those. They can fall off if they don't get on a little winning streak. They probably need to win one more game, maybe two.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, they lost their last four series, in non-conference. They did beat Clemson 2 out of 3 in Clemson. I mean, that's a top 8 team, so that's kind of a feather in their cap. But, yeah, I mean, look, they're 16-13 in the league. They struggled down the stretch, but their RPI is pretty good. So I think, if they win one more, and now they're in the double elimination part of the bracket, I think you have to like your chances of getting a site there.
Thank you for correcting me, because I see where I misread the box score now. Anyway, enough of money conference. Let's talk real baseball. Southern Miss right now, 37-16. Where are they where you thought they would be now? Like, going into the season, just kind of, you know, little valuation, offense, defense, and the record. Is it where you thought it would be?
Yeah, actually, I'm trying to remember where I thought the team. I think I said before the year maybe 38-16. So, I mean, they're almost right at around that. I think it was at 38-win mark and 22 wins in the league. I mean, that's right about where I thought this team would be. And, you know, a solid 2-seed with, an outside chance to host there on the last weekend. So I think the team is, I think they've met expectations. I think the rotation, I mean, Tanner Hall has, after some struggles maybe in the first half of the season, has pitched excellently down the stretch, and he's become that, that ace everybody thought he would continue to be. And then I guess, Oldham moving into the rotation was a little bit of a surprise, just because it felt like at times, he had gotten hit maybe a little bit in those inner squads before the season. But, yeah, I mean, you have Matt Adams in the rotation. Obviously I think everybody thought that was going to happen. And then the offense, I mean, you have someone like a Slade Wilkes that, even though, he's a little bit hurt right now and has been cold the past couple of weeks, he's kind of become that, 1,000-plus OPS guy that can wreck a game. So I feel like everything. And then now, Edsel's kind of become the guy that we thought he was going to be. So I think there are a couple tweaks to what people thought, but I think overall it's kind of played out the way people sort of expected it to play out.
So you had us at 38-16. We're 37-16, which implies that Southern Miss won the game and Trustmark the sod game.
Yes. I think it was 38 or 37 wins. I can't remember exactly, but
I'm going to give you credit for 38. Okay, I'm going to give you credit for the 22 conference wins. That's exactly what it is. Talking to Patrick McGee of Hattiesburg, co-host of the Buzzardry podcast, and Southern Miss all things stats. Couple more minutes, just looking in this tournament. What are you looking for out of the Golden Eagles in this conference tournament?
Oh, I think pitching behind Tanner Hall. I mean, you kind of look at last week where Oldham was okay. I mean, he got to whatever the fourth or fifth inning, but you know he got hit a little bit there early, and you know Adams getting pulled after that first inning. I mean, so you want your second and third starters to pitch well heading into regionals. It'll give you a little more confidence. You know, to see what they can do against you. I mean, if you play Troy twice, I mean, that's an NCAA tournament lineup. So you want to see Oldham and Adams pitch well against, you know, possible, you know, or you know, if Troy wins, you know, against a regional competition. So having those guys go out there, and let's say they go six innings and give you a good start, I think that would really be something I'm kind of looking at is, you know, your two and three starters.
Your thoughts on Justin Storm on the back end this season?
Yeah, I mean, he's really kind of caught fire here. I mean, since that Coastal Carolina Sunday, starting with that, I mean, he hasn't given up a run. And I know heading into last week, he had struck out, you know, the majority of the batters he had seen since that Coastal weekend. So, yeah, I mean, he's become a dominant closer, which, you know, I think people thought he had a chance to be before the year, kind of becoming that Ryan Ock type, you know, a lefty with the fastball that's hard to pick up. But he also has a little more, you know, maybe a little better secondary stuff than an Ock does. But, yeah, he's been great down the stretch.
People need to enjoy watching this because he's probably moving on. Somebody probably draft him at 6-7, huh?
Yeah, I would think somewhere in the top 5 to 7 or so rounds, which is around where Ock went. So, yeah, I would expect him sometime on day 2, just kind of based on some draft reports I've read and some lists. I mean, he's kind of in that 200 or 300 prospect range.
If Alabama goes 1-and-done or 2-and-done or 1-and-2, where are the Eagles heading to Monday?
I guess it'll depend on, assuming Auburn wins, I would say it would be pretty much, I'd say 40-40 between Auburn and Baton Rouge, and then I would say there's a 20% chance of something outside of that, something kind of a wild card, maybe a Nashville, maybe, you know, who knows, maybe an ACC site that nobody's even thinking of. So that's kind of how I feel.
Only 3 non-SEC regionals since 2004, I think. So we'll see. Patrick, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Luke.
Patrick McGee, we call him Stats, one half of the Buzzardry podcast. You can find them on podcasts and platforms. Good stuff. He loves Southern Miss. We enjoy having him on the program. Heath Hinton from Big Gold Nation joins us right after these commercial messages.
Southern Miss to the top.
Appreciate Patrick McGee joining us from Hattiesburg. Follow him on Twitter, WP McGee. Great stuff. Never know what he's going to throw out. All kinds of stuff. Appreciate him joining us. Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball joined us earlier in the program. Luke and Michael from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel Bob out today because he's on the road headed to Montgomery. I'll join him tomorrow. Eagle Hour on the road the next 2 days live from the Sunbelt Baseball Championship in Montgomery, Alabama. And we look forward to that. Let's bring in Heath Hinton from Big Gold Nation. Heath joins us. And Heath, before we get back into to baseball, transfer portal news, we'd been waiting on that from Jay Ladner to new Golden Eagles, and I think there's a lot of reason for excitement when you look at these transfers, one from Oregon State and one from UNLV.
Yeah, Victor, make sure I say his name, Iwokafor, Ford from UNLV, young man was a blue chip going into Oklahoma. They transferred UNLV. Athletic ability out of the gym, just can jump out of the gym, has great athletic ability. Spoke to Coach Ladner about him, and he said one of the things that he really liked about this young man was that he thought he fit in their press. When they go to press, and he really likes his athletic ability in their press and him being able to be that 4, maybe when they go smaller 5, in the paint. So that was a really nice get for him. And then, of course, young man Nick Press, loving St. Patrick from the coast. He went to Oregon State, 6'4", right at 200-pound shooting guard, and shoot out of the gym. Did get to play a lot, but transferring back home. So two really good gets for Coach Ladner and his staff, and two guys that, you know, they're going to need some help offensively, going to need some help with some size. And, you know, with Nick being a two, that's going to be really nice, shooting guard. So I think two really good gets and two quality guys that they can plug and play immediately.
And then, of course, huge news, Crowley coming back. And it does seem that this team, as of right now, is guard heavy, with Hase, Pinckney, and Mormon gone. Do you expect to see, you know, some more bigs come in for this team?
I do. I expect, you know, I think they have about four scholarships left. So I wouldn't be surprised if three or four of those on bigs, maybe all four on bigs. But they're going to need some size down low. They're going to need some guys that, you know, Pinckney was such a weapon for them last year because of his size and his ability to shoot outside. So I look for him to go get a stretch four, maybe a guy that can play inside, you know, that can bang around with some of those bigger guys in the Sun Belt. Really big, really mature front line last year. So I think three or maybe all four of the scholarships they have left over are going to be used on bigs down low.
And, I mean, Denaje Harris hasn't made any announcements yet, so, I mean, there's still a possibility he could return.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he's going to New Mexico State. I thought I saw that on there. So I don't think he's coming back. So
there you go.
That's a big loss, especially when you're talking defense. And, hey, he gave you some offense that you never thought he was. But defensively, he was so important, especially because he could play the two or the three with his size and athletic ability.
Yep. Good stuff. All right, let's go to baseball. Sunbelt gets underway today. 3 o'clock, James Madison and Old Dominion. That's the 7, James Madison against the 10, Old Dominion. And then later tonight, Georgia State and Georgia Southern. If Old Dominion wins, Southern Miss can't play them because they would be the lowest seed by default. So it's really James Madison, Georgia Southern, or Georgia State. James Madison wins, Eagles get them. Any preference? JMU, Georgia Southern, Georgia State? Who you want?
And I think they're all – look, this conference tournament is tough. I think every team in it's the up 100 RPI team. I mean, it's going to be tough no matter where you look at it. I look at James Madison, a team that's more of a base hit type of team that want to hit home runs. Georgia Southern is a team that kind of scares me a little bit because they've been there. They've done it last year. I believe they hosted last year. They're a team that kind of scares you a little bit. Georgia State can really hit the ball out of the park, but – I think I want to play those teams that would rather hit the ball out of the park because you're playing in a bigger stadium and they're not playing in these short porches that they're used to playing in. So I think, you know, maybe you want to play a team that relies on the long ball just for the fact that you're not going to get as many home runs. So we'll see what happens. I'm interested how the dimensions of the park play in with these teams in the Sun Belt who like to hit home runs. That's going to be interesting to watch in this tournament.
So Golden Eagles back in late March took 2 of 3 from Georgia Southern at the Pete. A few weeks later in mid-April, they swept James Madison at the Pete and did not play Georgia State this year. So really what, tomorrow hopefully Tanner Hall can throw 7 or 8 innings and save some of the pen. And I still feel like the Eagles are in good shape. Adams got hit pretty good. But you feel like the plan for any game 3 anyway is going to be Adams for, you know, 4 innings. If he gets to the 5th, great. And then it's Mazza or Armistead the rest of the way. So I still feel good. Would like to see, you know, Sively, he got hit some this weekend. But, I mean, overall, Eagles got a best ERA in the conference right now and pitcher of the year, you know, and on your staff. Got to feel good at least, as well as the offense over what they did this past weekend.
Yeah, you do. I think you want to see, of course, Sunday and even this weekend, they relied on the home run so much to score some runs. They were able to do that. Pete Taylor Park is not as small of a park as other places. But I would like to see them manufacture more. I was really happy to see those guys in the eighth inning being able to manufacture runs, really seeing Sargent go to the opposite field, Reese Ewing with the base hit. So that was good to see. And this is going to be more of a, I think it's what teams can put big innings together because they get base hits. Which team is hot at the plate? Because you're not going to get the home runs. It's going to be about manufacturing runs. It's going to be about moving runners over, and which I think is kind of maybe sometimes helps plays in the Southern Miss a little bit. Pitching and defense are going to be so important. The home run is not going to be as big as it was in the regular season. So I think pitching-wise, I think it's going to be somebody in the bullpen that steps up that you're not expecting that's going to come in and really save Southern Miss for two or three innings and keep runners from crossing the plate. I think that's going to be the difference. Who's going to be that guy that steps up for the Golden Eagles, just like a Justin Storm did last year in the regional? Who's going to be a guy that steps up in this conference tournament? I think that's something to think about.
I mean, give me a couple names. Who comes to mind when you ask yourself that question?
Man, I think a Chase Adams is a guy that that could be Dawson pitch really well against Ulala. He's a guy. Somebody like that that maybe not had the best year but come on late, I think that's a guy you can look at and say, is he going to be able to give me six outs in a very important part of the game, keep runners from crossing the plate? Those are the things that you look at in tournaments and in regionals. That's what wins. That's what wins those.
Should mention this. We haven't mentioned it so far, other than Tanner getting the Sunbelt Pitcher of the Year. He's first team. Dustin's first team. Danny Lynch, second team. And I was like, oh, where is Slade Wilkes in this as well? But there are some power hitters. You know, the kid from Troy hitting 28 bombs. But Slade Wilkes, not on Sunbelt team.
Yeah, kind of a little shocked there. I mean, he did have kind of a slumped a little bit towards the end of the season, but there is, you know, maybe that hit when he took a pitch off the hand didn't help matters none. But yeah, I don't see how you don't, because when he hits the baseball, that it's fun to watch how hard he hits it when he's 100% and he gets everything into the ball. I mean, he did put one in the Catholic Church parking lot this year. The guy can just really swing it. So, surprised they left him off. But then again, there's some really good sluggers in this league. There are some guys who can hit it. And once again, I keep saying that. That's why the dimensions of a minor league ballpark is going to come so much into play. Is Coastal going to be able to rely on the home run? We've seen them when they go on the road. Sometimes they play in a bigger part as in Louisiana. Not as easy to score all those runs when you're in a smaller ballpark, when you're in a bigger ballpark. So I think that's going to play in. And remember, Coastal hasn't fared too well in Montgomery.
Right.
So I think, you know, this tournament's wide open. I like where Southern Miss is on their side of the bracket. I think they got a really good draw. And with especially when you got Texas State, Coastal, Louisiana on the other side, let them battle it out. Let them fight each other. And which it's not easy. Appalachian State, all those guys on Southern Miss side, because it's not an easy tournament. But let them battle it out over there, and then you just play good fundamental Southern Miss baseball. Try to make it towards the end, and you know, win it, get that host spot.
Final comment, real quick. Comments on the Ferris yesterday.
You know, it's just one of those things where they had guys. It wasn't media members who voted for it. They had scouts who voted for it. And sometimes scouts and watchers, maybe they saw his numbers, but they don't realize what Tanner Hall, that he had better numbers than last year in a tougher league. Tanner's going against everybody's ace, so don't give me that. It's quality of competition stuff.
I think if it would have been media vote, I think even the Ole Miss and state media guys would have still voted for Tanner. Hey, thanks for your time, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, buddy. Y'all have a good one.
That's Heath Hinton from Big Gold Nation, southernmiss.rivals.com. You can join and be an insider today. Appreciate Heath joining us. Ben Milam getting ready to head out west. William Carey in the World Series. We'll talk to Ben after this.
Yeah. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment brought to you by DBAT and D1. Proud sponsors of the Eagle Hour. DBATHattiesburg.com, located on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Luke and Michael from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Great show today. Go back and check it out in podcast form if you missed it. And anyway, appreciate all of our guests today. One more guest, the other half of the Buzzardry podcast, the voice of the William Carey Crusaders. Ben Milam joins us live from Louis Armstrong International in New Orleans because you're about to jump on a plane, Ben.
That's right, all the way up to Lewiston, Idaho, trying to bring a national title back to Hattiesburg, see if we can't get it done.
I just went in Google Maps and looked at Lewiston, Idaho, and it's literally hovering on the Washington-Idaho border. And I ask you, you know, I just thought they picked a different spot every year, but Lewiston actually hosts the World Series every year.
That's it. It's Lewis Clark State up there in Lewiston. I mean, it's a small town. Hattiesburg's a good bit bigger than Lewiston, but they've really built out that ballpark so that they could continue to host it, and they have 150 plus different volunteers that come in and help them run everything. And I mean, Coach Halford and guys that were there in 2017 and his staff, they absolutely love going up there, and it's just nothing. You hear nothing but good things. So we're fired up to get back up there.
Crusaders 47-9. What a run. Tell us about the opponent come Friday.
Yeah, so William Carey, the four seed, it's a 10-team double elimination tournament. It's kind of funky the way they do it, and they squeeze it in one calendar week. It'll be Friday to next Friday. And the five seed, the first matchup, 4-5 seed matchup will be us, obviously, in Bellevue out of Nebraska. This will be their fourth consecutive World Series. They won a national championship in 1995. It's one of those NAIA programs that are always going to be up there in the top 10 or 15. It's just perennial powerhouse. It's one of the legendary coaching staffs in college baseball in general, I would say. Dwayne Monluck, she's been there for going on 40 years now, similar to Bobby Halford. And they're you look at them on paper, there's not a whole lot that's going to really jump out at you in terms of kind of high-end talent, but they just don't really have any weaknesses. They've got four really good starters, a guy that's just over a 2 ERA that'll throw against William Carey, a righty, which we feel like matches up well against our offense, and not a whole lot of holes in the offensive order either. They're top 10 nationally in runs scored. Of course, William Carey is number 2 nationally in runs scored, so it'll be a really fun one. It'll be a good matchup, but we again feel pretty good about how it favors William Carey. But the big key is if you win that game one, the way the bracket sets up, you don't play again until Monday. But if you lose that first game, you play Saturday, Sunday, and then you have a game every single day for the rest of the tournament. So it's a huge deal for your pitching depth and just fatigue in general, and at a compact tournament to win that game one. And again, feel pretty good about the matchup. Just got to go get it done.
Talking to Ben Milam, play-by-play voice for the William Carey Crusaders as they head to Idaho for the NAIA World Series. Game one starter for the Crusaders will be?
It'll be Andrew Shira. He's the SSAC Pitcher of the Year. Feel really good about the pitching depth because you kind of have two aces in Shira and A.J. Stinson. Who's the all-time strikeout leader, William Carey history. He's a Hattiesburg guy. It's a name a lot of people are going to know. And, if he can get what you've gotten out of Andrew Shira these last 3 or 4 weeks, I mean, he's gone 7-plus innings in his last 5 starts and just been really, really good. Need him to be obviously really, really good again Friday.
We had him on the show a few weeks back and full of confidence and knows what he could do. Enjoyed, really, really enjoyed that interview. What are you looking the most forward to? You know, you get to watch baseball, and you get as part of your job, and it's a World Series. But what's one of those things that you just enjoy about a week like this?
Well, man, I've never called anything to this scale before. I called both the conference tournament and the opening round. And it's just, we talk about this on Crusader Talk a good bit, but it's It is. I am really excited to call kind of this last stage of NAIA baseball, because I've grown an appreciation and a respect for it, and that there's an amateurism that isn't necessarily there in Division I sports anymore.
Sure.
And they're playing at the highest level of this division of NAIA, and there's some great ball players. So to you know, have 10 of the best, it's going to be just a ton of fun. There's a whole lot of individual guys, you know, there are guys who are probably going to go in the first couple of days of the MLB draft, a good list of those that are going to compete in Lewiston this week. So there's a whole lot to look forward to. And I mean, these guys are playing their hearts out, and they don't have the ESPN cameras pointed at them, but they play it just the same. It's going to be a whole lot of fun all the way around.
Good stuff. Well, Ben, have a great call. Y'all have a safe trip, and we'll be checking on you.
All right. Thanks, Luke.
It's Ben Milam and Michael. People can hear Ben Milam call the William Carey Crusader Baseball World Series games.
We will carry every game on air on 97.3 here in Hattiesburg, then, of course, at supertalkhattiesburg.com. And worldwide, if you download the Supertalk Mississippi app, just click on the Hattiesburg station, and we're going to get them on.
Good stuff. Good luck to the Crusaders. Hey, when you hear us tomorrow, we'll be in Montgomery. You watch some ESPN Plus Sunbelt action today at 3 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. to find out who the Golden Eagles will face tomorrow. Appreciate you listening. We'll catch you tomorrow from Montgomery. And as always, Southern Miss.
To the top. To the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.